This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Off we go into hour number two. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. Rob Lonzo and you. Be a part of the show. The Hub City Spartan Burgers text line's open. 844-326-3663. By the way, can I tell you how happy it makes me to see that the Spartan Burgers are going to continue the tradition of most of our upstate professional teams of being involved with the fans, being directly involved with the community, being directly involved in working with them. The Spartan Burgers, as we get set for the opening of the Hub City baseball team, putting it all together, the Spartan Burgers came to us. They were like, hey, you guys are the voice of sports across the upstate in Greenville and in Spartanburg. We'd like to be a part of what you're doing. They came to us and said, we know the people have spoken. We know that you guys are the sports station in the hood. We'd like to be involved. They came to us and said, we want to utilize what you have built in this community to be a part of said community. And I love that. I love that. So I'm jacked up about that. The Hub City Spartan Burgers text line 844 FANFONE 844-326-3663. You can text on that number. You can call on that number. 844-326-3663. I will ask Clemson fans today, where are you on your basketball program? After being one of the 5-12 upsets yesterday, where are you on your basketball program now? Texter just texted the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line and said, Brownell got out-coached. He's been at Clemson and cannot make adjustments. Also, he didn't coach to foul earlier to force two things. One, stopping the clock. And two, forcing a poor free throw shooting team to win at the line. Poor. And now Clemson fans are stuck with a six-year misery tax.
As I pointed out earlier, don't blame them entirely because they were trying to foul and the refs just wasn't having any of it.
I don't disagree with you. But that also comes down to, again,
when you got two guys giving someone the business, and they're not blowing the whistle. We got another guy Gunther chopping someone. I mean, it's a play. He reached out and Gunther chopped the dude, and they still didn't call it.
I don't disagree with you, but I also say that part of the requirement is understanding that as long as referees are humans and therefore are subjective and foul calls change from game to game, being able to adjust to that, to coach your guys and go, all right, in this spot we need to do this, that is coaching. That's part of it. Like, if they're not giving it, you got to figure out a way around that.
As a former basketball player, if you're trying to get a foul and the ref isn't calling it, do you knock the guy to the ground?
I mean, you get increasingly more violent until you get the call.
I'm seriously asking that question.
I'm seriously
answering. Is that what you have to do? You have to get more and more violent until they finally call.
Until you get a call. Okay. And one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to go, okay, that's the call. That's where we draw the line. Or they're going to get you to a spot where they're going to go, nope, that's too far. They're going to get you with a T1. You're going to get two free shots and the ball back the other way. And now you know, all right, that's not going to work. How do we adjust around that? Anybody who thinks that coaching sports, I was going to say basketball, but really sports. Anybody who thinks that coaching sports is not a stream of constant in-game adjustments is doing it wrong. There are some coaches who can get away without that. I have said for a large chunk of my career, Nick Saban was never a great Saturday game day coach. Nick Saban didn't beat you by making a bunch of adjustments. Nick Saban beat you in two ways. Number one, he hired a staff full of guys around him to help him out with that. And number two, he recruited monsters and he had them ready in February to beat you in August and September. That's what he did. So, you know, again, like I think I've landed for now on Brad's a vibes guy. Brad's a guy that goes and he's a culture guy. He's a guy that goes and gets Ann Schefflin's and he gets guys that are, you know, high motor guys, gutsy guys, grinded out guys, guys that really want to be Clemson Tigers, and he convinces them to stay. And all that's well and good. But at the end of the day, I agree with this texter. Will Wade coached circles around Brad Brown yesterday. Was it a one-off game? I don't know. Was that something that is going to be routine? I don't know. Again, Brad Brown, I was in the Elite Eight last year. I can't say yes, but what I do know is he flat out got out coached yesterday. From the opening tip to the final whistle, he flat out got out coached. And so my question is, are you in trouble now? Because that came a day after you signed him to an extension that's going to go till 2031. The buyout's going to be too big for the next handful of years. It's going to be three or four seasons before, unless Clemson wants to take some of that NIL pot money and throw it into a buyout. And the problem is, after last year's run, it felt like Clemson was at the highest high it's been on the basketball court in a very long time. I'm not going to say you gave it all back yesterday. But I kind of, you know what? This is item number one on that thing that we do at 7:06 in the morning. So let's do that thing we do at 7:06 in the morning. It's the water cooler cheat sheet. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. Unless you're a Clemson fan, in which case you may not want to do that this morning. But you're going to be asked about it, so you might as well know. Item number one. Item number one and done for the Clemson Tigers. 69-67, the McNeese State Cowboys outdo the ACC's second best team yesterday to move on into the round of 32 and send Clemson back home after the upset. McNeese State shot 43.5%, 21.1% from range. I'm going to give you the numbers, the same numbers for Clemson. But I need you to know, this game, without a doubt, is the best illustration of my career of the fact that you can't do this job if you don't watch the games. So it's the best illustration of you can't do this job if you don't. You can't wake up, read a box score, watch a 60-second highlight package on ESPN, and then feel like you can come in and sit down on this mic and do this job. You just can't do it. The first half of basketball for the Clemson Tigers ended 31-13. It was one of the worst halves of basketball that I have ever watched. It was just bad. It was just bad. This team ends up trailing 31-13. They scored their 10th point, I guess technically 11th point, with 5 minutes and 5 seconds left to play in the first half. That means, and I'm real bad at math, but that means it took the Clemson Tigers a long time to get double-digit points on the clock. 5:05 left on the clock. to get there. You played 14 minutes of 55 seconds of basketball before you got your 10th point. At that point, McNeese State, who in the first half, to be clear, wasn't spectacular, right? Like, it might be one thing if you looked and you went, oh, this was a world-class caliber basketball team, and they had the first half of their lives to put you down. They didn't. They were fine, the McNeese State Cowboys, in the first half. They were fine. They didn't do anything special. Clemson was just that bad in the first half. 31-13 to end the first half. And then it took everything Clemson had in the second half just to make it look competitive. And again, we talked about it. This team was trailing by 24 at one point. With 12:05 on the clock, it was 45-24. You chipped away. You climbed back into it. But you did not get it down. And by the way, when you did finally get it down, part of that was because McNeese State went on a little bit of a cold streak. But you didn't get that lead back down to inside of 15 points until there was just over 4 minutes left in the game. Then Clemson went on a little run to close the gap down into that single digits. But by that point, there was inside of a minute left on the clock. Like, McNeese State at that point was just watching the seconds burn off. And knocking down free throws when they got the chance. Brad Brown got outcoached. That's all there is to it. Now, again, to defend Brad. Brad can't have you. He can't go out there and make the layups for you. He can't go and knock down the bunnies for you. He can't go and stop McNeese State from getting not one, not two, not three, not four, but five consecutive offensive rebounds. He can't stop that. That's on you. But what you got to be able to do is make those adjustments. What you got to do is recognize that McNeese State is killing you on the glass, is killing you on the second chance opportunities, and recognize that if they are killing you on the second half or second chance opportunities, you damn well better find a way to get away from that. You better find a way to fix it. And that just never happened. 69-67, we'll talk more about this game later on down the stretch. The Tigers are one and done in the NCAA tournament. Let's move on to item number two. It takes, like, a lot for me to be embarrassed as a sports fan. It takes a lot for me to be embarrassed as a sports fan because, you know, bleep happens sometimes. I was embarrassed as a U.S. soccer fan last night. In a week that has been, in my opinion, perhaps the best week of soccer in the United States in a very long time, with the USL earlier this week confirming that not only will they be adding an upper-level division that is on par with MLS on the same level, but they will actually adopt the promotion relegation system, I was ready to selly. I was ready to go. And so last night, I added a TV screen late in the night to watch the U.S. play Panama in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals, and we lost again. 1-0 in the 93rd minute, Panama able to slide one across the face of Matt Turner to take a 1-0 lead, bump us out of a tournament that was one of the last big tournaments before we host the World Cup next year. Hercules Gomez said a lot of it for me.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring?
Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I can't add anything to that. They played scare, they played tepid, they played uncreatively, and at a spot where you go, you got one of the biggest name coaches out there. And he said and he did all the right things and he looked the part and you got the names and you got the talent on paper, and then to turn in that. Like, I don't know where the line is where I go, I am not supporting this anymore. Because I know that if people like me bail out on this, U.S. soccer is never going to the next level. If people like me who want it to be great, to want to be an international powerhouse, stop watching because of games like this, I know we're never going to get there. But at the same time, like, I wasted my time last night. I wasted my time last night. I wasted 95 minutes of my life watching that game last night. I could have been more tuned into basketball. I could have been more tuned into teams that I don't give a damn about because the basketball is good than I... Than, I'm going to come back to that later because I'm not happy. Item number 3. I don't know if it's fair or not that this is going to keep showing up on the water cooler cheat sheet, but until that record is broken, it will. Alex Ovechkin, now number 8, scored 888 last night. A 3-2 victory by the Caps over the Flyers last night in the first period. Just over 5 minutes left. Alexei Protas passed it across the front of the net to Ovechkin. The 39-year-old saw that Samuel Erson was taking his time sliding across the blue paint, so he just went upper left 90 for his 35th goal of the season, tied for the fourth most in the league, but his 888th overall brings him 7 back of passing Wayne Gretzky's all-time mark of 894. Alex Ovechkin, at his current pace, doesn't just have a chance to break Gretzky's record before the end of the regular season. He will. Now, we are getting to the point where it's starting to bump up with he'll have to have a pretty heat run some there, but the dude's special. The dude's special, and it's been a joy to watch him play so far this season. 888 for Alex Ovechkin, needs just 7 more to get to the great one. Every Caps game now becomes must-watch. Every Caps game must be must-watch. We'll talk more hockey later on the show. Coming up in about 43 minutes, Lou Kessin from the Greenville News covers the South Carolina Gamecocks as Dawn Staley's team gets set to open the NCAA Women's Championship tournament. She'll tell us how the Gamecocks are getting set up to open up as a 1 seed. We'll see how her bracket's doing as well. We got 840 Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast pulling up to talk a little Panther off-season football with us, and then we'll see what else is going to happen on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Taking a look at the station-wide bracket competition leaderboard. We'll see where we're at. We have got one who stands alone on top. We've got a tie. Excuse me. We have one who stands alone in second, and we've got a big jumble of players at the bottom. Now, I am going to say this.
I thought you were just talking about the hierarchy of the two shows. That's what I thought you were
doing. Just the leaderboard. I am going to say this, great one. Earlier in the morning, when I was checking the leaderboard, we had one player who was first, and it was, I got this TRBS with 15 points. Then There was a long tie of people at second place that included me, my wife, and a handful of others. I just went back and refreshed the leaderboard. And there is, and I don't know how, because unless I just missed something, there's no basketball games happening this morning, or at least this early.
Yeah, that's weird.
There is suddenly somebody on this leaderboard ranked number one with a perfect 16-0 day yesterday. Zoe, just to confirm, so that I don't sound like a crazy person and or conspiracy theorist, this bracket was not here 1 hour ago when we checked it, right?
Even further back than an hour ago. No, it was not there. Now it's there.
This bracket.
Shenanigans?
I don't know.
Is that possible?
I want to say this. I do not know where it came from. I don't know if you can join a bracket competition group after the tournament is started. Like, as long as your bracket's filled up, you can add it to more groups or whatever, which frankly, I can't imagine that's allowed, right? Because then I just fill out 15 brackets and whichever one's doing best, I start adding it to groups. I don't know. But what I do know is that when we started the show, I was tied with about 8 other people for second overall at 14-0. And the bracket at the top of the leaderboard was bracket I got this TRBS, who was 15-1. And now as I open up the leaderboard, there is a bracket on the top with a perfect 16-0 opening day. The bracket's name is Rob Hates Kids and Elders TRBS.
All right, so Steven on the stream pointed this out, and suddenly it's up there. That's not you, is it, Steven?
Because even if it was, how would it get there? It was not there an hour ago. Well,
if it is Steven, then he can explain how it got there, because this sounds like a name that Steven would come up with.
Oh, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. But I genuinely don't know where this came from. 1 hour ago when we started the show, first thing I did was dive into the leaderboard. Here's at the top of the leaderboard. Here's our first like 20 brackets or whatever it was. Because I got to say, Zoe, I'm pretty happy with the representation of the Armada atop the leaderboard after day one. We're only one half of the way through round one, but with 16 games on the books, I'm pretty happy with the number of TRBS brackets at the top of the board, and I was very happy.
Are you upset that this moves you down?
No, I'm not. I just need to know what happened. I mean, yes, I am. Because that for me, there's a hell of a difference between T2 and now T3. Like, it just doesn't feel as good to be like, oh, I'm tied for third. If number one went 16-0, which is beyond impressive.
I don't want to be last. That's on the show. I mean, listeners beat me good. I mean, because they should. I just don't want to be last not on the show, but on the station. I don't want to be last. And right now I'm not. So I'm good with that.
We're getting away from what is the most important thing.
Not being last.
No.
I'm glad it's your number one. Good for you. You need that. I don't need that.
I don't care about any of that. We are 16 games into the 32 games that make up round one. We got a lot of basketball between here and the final standings.
I do feel bad about who you picked to win the whole thing, though.
So. Don't care about that. We can come to that. We got plenty of time. What I care about right now is that 1 hour ago, I was T2 at 14-2, and now I jump on, I'm T3, because out of nowhere, music plays, pyro hits, and all of a sudden there is a new bracket, a perfect bracket through day number one that suddenly materializes at the top of the leaderboard. How?
I don't have the music, because the music would have been perfect there. Stone Cold just entered the bracket, and there he is at number one.
It
calls into question if, but this poll could not be manipulated. I mean, this whole thing, because of who we're doing it through, and they do it so much every single year. There's no way that there's still an invite friends button on this thing.
Yeah, but the brackets are locked. Like, I don't know. Here's what I'll say.
So you don't think that maybe whoever this person was did their bracket and forgot to join the group?
But
then this morning noticed they weren't in the group and then joined the group?
I can't let that be the reason. And the reason I can't let that be the reason is because in that case, what stops me from filling out 45 brackets yesterday, waiting and then going, oh, I got one 16.
Because it said in the rules to join the group that you could only fill out one bracket. You didn't notice that?
No. If I fill out 45 and I don't join the group,
don't join,
then after day one, I just go to my best bracket and submit that to the group, right? Like, the brackets and the groups should have locked at 12:14 yesterday and ending the thing. Like, it should have been locked.
I don't think the group's locked. I think that was an assumption.
So, Texter says on the Hub City Spartan Burgers text line, Rob, maybe you missed it and need memory pills. Can't add a bracket afternoon. No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is at 6 o'clock this morning when we started the show, because I am an overly and unhealthily committed competition junkie, the very first thing I did when we opened the show was take a look at our bracket competition leaderboard. First thing I did. And I know for a fact I got it right. Because when I looked at it, there were two things I was most proud of. There was three things I was most proud of. Thing I was proud of, number one, is that at the top of the leaderboard was one of our TRBS brackets. Remember, I asked you if you submitted a bracket to put TRBS in your name so the Rob Brown Show brackets would show up on the list. And position number one had a TRBS on the back. Very happy the Armada was representing, taking the early lead off the pole. The second thing I was most proud of was that I'm tied for second. And I remember I was tied for second because the third thing that I was proud of was that not just I was tied for second after 16 games played, but that my wife was tied for second after 16 games played. I rolled up in here and I'm like, noseball Rob Brown and Mrs. Rob Brown TRBS, both towards the top, both in the silver medal position in a tie. And I was bragging about the fact that, hey, I'm not only am I two, but I know ball so well that my ball knowing osmosis into my wife, who I did not assist in filling out a bracket, and she went 14-2 to second place. And I talked about all that. And now, at 7:25 or whatever it was, I opened this segment to say, okay, new hour, new audience, let's roll it over and let's see where we are. Let's update the people. And all of the sudden, where I was T2 at 14-2 and I got this TRBS, was P1 by himself at 150, all of a sudden I got this TRBS at 15-1 is in second by himself. All of a sudden, ball knower Rob Brown and Mrs. Rob Brown TRBS are T3 at 14-2, and out of nowhere emerges a bracket named Rob Hates Kids and Elders with a perfect 16-0 opening day. How does that happen? Even if you were, I mean, first off, you should not be allowed to join a group after the group locks, right? Like, you either put a bracket into this group or you move on.
You don't know if that's the case.
I don't.
That's what I think the case is.
But see, that would be, again,
So it doesn't call into question the legitimacy of the overall brackets. It's just how a group is run.
It's the question of, and I will, I'm going to see, the thing is, Diesel and Cole are the admins of this group. I do not have access to go see what the rules are. If they set it up in a way that brackets could join the competition after the competition starts, I got a big problem with that. Because that basically means that whoever filled out bracket Rob Hates Kids and Elders could have just filled out 59 brackets, picked one that was 16-0, and then submitted it after day one.
You can't hijack someone else's thing and then complain about their rules. That's what you're doing. I mean, we jumped into their thing, and now you're complaining about what their rules are.
Yeah, but it'd be like entering a race at the marathon at the last minute. You find out that one person's allowed to drive a car. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here?
Rob, did you read the rules about joining the group you did the thing? So what's your complaint about? I mean, this is the fact that you didn't know this was a possibility.
Here's my bragging.
That's on you.
It is because Rob Brown, and see, this is the thing. Not only, forget that he jumped me. This person, this individual, if they joined late, he jumped every Tolo too. He jumped every Tolo too.
All I see is TRBS. That's all I see.
Listen,
and that's the top two spots. Technically, the top three spots.
I mean, technically, there's a lot of TRBS brackets in the top three spots.
Just saying, we're doing pretty well. The Armada is doing pretty well.
But see, here's the other angle of that. What happens if this cat wins the bracket? What happens if there's a TRBS bracket that brings home the gold, and then it comes out down the line that the rules were massaged and manipulated by a TRBS bracket? Lonzo, that reflects poorly on us.
No, it doesn't. That reflects on the people who made the rules of the thing.
No.
I mean...
The Armada does not cheat to win.
They didn't cheat.
If they did. I'm saying if they did. Because I'm going to tell you, just like filling out 90 brackets to me is weak sauce, jumping into a group after half of the first round's played because you got one bracket that went 16-0, that's weak sauce even if you are going to put a TRBS bracket up top. I got some detective work to do after the show today. I gotta go get me one of those little half-size notepads and a pencil and a hat with like a piece of paper slip sticking out of the hat band because I got some detective work to do this afternoon. Rob Hates Kids and Elders with a perfect opening day is number one, apparently. I got this TRBS 15-1 to open this tournament at number two. At number three, it is a big-time tie. Drewtopia, Smithhead 67, Mrs. Rob Brown Show, heyo, generic fan label, Ballknower Rob Brown, wah, too many brackets. Cole runs a 5-2-40 ? Tolo Yardbird, Falcon Jeremy TRBS, Logan TRBS, Brian Pettit TRBS, all tied for third with a 14-2 opening day. There's also just a fistful of TRBS brackets, T14 with a 13-3 opening day. Good bracket competition. Texas said, Rob, we all want to know, do you hate children and elders? I do not. In fact, I am all of my friends' kids' favorite uncles. I love being an uncle. It's the best thing in the world. I don't want kids. It doesn't mean I don't like them. I don't want your kids in my bar. Doesn't mean I don't like them. I don't want your kids running around and screaming in the mall. Doesn't mean I don't like them.
I think anyone who's listened to the show for the entirety of the show knows that everything you're saying right now, it's kind of a stretch.
You keep saying that.
Yeah, it's me. It's nobody else that does that.
I'll tell you what I don't
like. It's just me.
I don't like people of any age who are poorly behaved, entitled, or routinely break the social contract. As long as you're not one of those three things, you're good in the Rob Brown Show.
It's like an unwritten rule of baseball. What the heck's a social contract?
A social contract that we all subscribe to. And if you don't, you're ostracized. Like me from this segment, The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. Donovan checks in on our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, or Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Donovan says, could have been a glitch in the system and a delayed update in the overall system, or possibly somebody hacked it, playing devil's advocate. Yeah, I mean, like, there is likely a very reasonable explanation as to why
they changed their name.
The name of the bracket is now Calm Down Liberob TRBS. I have two things to say about it. Number one, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Number two, this individual is actively listening to the show right now, and I need you to tell me what happened here, dear listener. I need to know. All right. We got a lot of stuff we got to get into on the radio program, but obviously we talked a little bit back in the first hour. We'll do it again here because I do think it is a big story. Clemson absolutely crapped the bed yesterday. Listen, I'm not saying that losing is the end of the world. It happens to everybody. Remember, Virginia lost to a 16 seed a few years back, turned around and won a natty. This does not mean that the program is dead in the water. It does not mean that Brad Brownell's not a good coach. There's a lot that it doesn't mean that people are trying to assign to this result. However, the way that this game went down, losing is not the end of the world. How you lost this game has me concerned. McNeese State was not playing a first half that led to a 31-13 score. That was historic. McNeese State was not playing a game in the first half that we're going to be talking about for years to come. OMG, do you remember back in 2025 when McNeese State played the greatest first half of basketball ever? Absolutely not. McNeese State was fine. They weren't special. They were shooting at a 45% clip. They were just outworking you on the glass. And defensively, they were frustrating Clemson's offensive attack. And Clemson did not respond to that. Then you add in the fact that I got Victor Lackin out here missing bunnies. I got guys that are ordinarily at least competent three-point shooters not being competent three-point shooters. I got wide-open misses. I got guys throwing up off-balance, fall-away, one-legged Jays with 6, 7, 8 seconds left on the shot clock. Plenty of time to find one or two more passes and skip it around. It was just poorly executed basketball. And the reality here is, just like with everything else, there's a spectrum here. And on one end of that spectrum is, this was a poorly coached basketball team. And on the other end of the spectrum is, the players bleeped the bed. And the reality about what happened is somewhere in between those two extremes. And I'm trying to pinpoint where I'm putting the slider on that spectrum. And I kind of think I have it nudged like 60-40. Brad Brownell just flat out got out coached by Will Wade. About 60-40. I'm not going to let Ian Schifflin off the hook here. As much as I like and respect this guy, I'm not going to let him off the hook. I'm not going to let Jaden Zachary, who did go 9 of 19, but he was like 1 for 9 in the first half before he got hot in the second. I'm not going to let him off the hook, even with 24 points. Victor went 2 of 4 from the floor. He did have 10 rebounds, but he had 6 points in this game. The breakdown of this game that I gave you yesterday had a couple of parts to it. One was that McNeese State is going to play a suffocating defense. McNeese State is going to play a zone defense that is going to try to create traps everywhere on the floor, which means Clemson offensively needs to anticipate, needs to know where the trap's going to come from, and needs to know where the passing alley out of that trap is at all times. They didn't. And so that's a spot that I go, okay, yeah, the players failed to execute. But if you know McNeese is running that zone, and again, credit to Will Wade, because there was a little bit of a adaptation to the way that they were throwing that zone at Clemson here and there. It wasn't really a 1-3-1. It wasn't really a 2-3. It was kind of a combination of the two. The two guys up top were flattened, right? On the elbows on both sides. But when the ball came up the floor, the point man would extend out to pick it up. If it went left, the guy on the right would go. If it went right, the guy on the left would go. Then the other side would rotate over. The backside wing of a 2-3 would step up to make it look like a 1-3-1. They would leave the corner open and just trust that they could outrun a skip pass to the far corner. And they were right. And so when I watch repeatedly Clemson's offense come down the floor, end up in this modified zone defense, and then just have no idea to go where to go with the basketball. What it tells me is, in that huddle, Brad's not out there going, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. You're going to bring the floor. You're going to bring the ball down the floor. It's going to look like a 2-3, but I want you to play it like it's a 1-3-1. They're going to bring the ball down the floor. It's going to look like it's a two high. It's actually, we're going to play it like it's one high. We're going to understand that the way you beat that is with two passes. I want the ball to go right. When that defense rotates over, I want my backside block guy to step up to the middle. That's where you beat a zone, in the middle. Step up to the middle. We're going to skip the ball to the middle, have the backside collapse in the help. Then I want you to find the man in the corner. That's how you beat that zone. And they just didn't do it, which means the adjustments just are not getting made in the huddle. On the flip side, what it means is that Will Wade recognized that this was going to be a Clemson weakness. And he set his defense to it. And they just did not know what to do. Will Wade flat out ran circles around Brad Brownell in the coaching department with the clipboard yesterday. Flat out ran circles around him. And my question now is, what's next after that? What's next after that? Where do we go from here? Because realistically speaking, that's not the type of performance to me that I trust moving forward. McNeese State's a good team. Let's be real clear. McNeese State is a real good team. On the flip side, it's not like they were just head and shoulders better than It wasn't like they were better than Clemson. I think you had a couple of teams there that were pretty evenly matched. One of them just knew the floor better. One of them just saw the floor better. One of them had the tactics laid out better and took advantage of that situation. That's all it comes down to. Again, to defend Brad Brownell, if I got a 6'11 center who can't hit a layup, I can't coach around that. If I got a guy that I can trust to shoot 40% from three who opens going 1-for-9, I can't coach around that. There's a lot of what happened yesterday that I absolutely put on Jaden Zachary and Ann Scheffler and the boys. And that's just part of sports. That's not a derogatory take. That's just part of sports. There's going to be games where your favorite athlete is just going to be bad, and you just got to learn to work around that. It's unfortunate. It's frustrating, but that's sports. However, I got to have a coach who is working with me here. I got to have a coach who's helping me out here. I got to have a coach who is seeing what is going wrong, who adapts to what is going wrong, and fixes what is going wrong. And yesterday, I just didn't. And that comes as a texter on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line at 844-326-3663 just pointed out. That is, to me, the most frustrating, upsetting part about that is that it comes the day after he signs a 6-year contract extension, which means that at that point, you absolutely cannot buy him out for a couple of years. You're just not going to have the money, unfortunately. So you're kind of stuck with where you are now. You're kind of stuck with where you are. You're kind of stuck in the spot you're stuck in right now. And I can't imagine that after going to the Elite Eight last year, that's not frustrating as hell. Because if that's the I was out with Clemson fans yesterday watching this game in public. The first half came to its conclusion, 31-13 in the hole. And to my right was a young man who said very, very loudly, and I quote, "I am back on the Fire Brad train just like that." Just like that. That is not a spot that you can crap the bed. Losing happens. Losing. Good to Kansas lost to Arkansas. Mizzou lost to Drake. Losing to mid-majors happens. It's going to happen to everybody. You got dog walked like you were playing the 99 Blue Devils. It was McNeese State. And again, I spent the day yesterday saying what? Will Wade is going to have this team ready to play. Will Wade loves Clemson. He's made that very clear, which makes it all that much more of a fat exclamation point on the end of his time at McNeese State as he departs to head up to Tobacco Road to take over NC State next year. But an exclamation point on his time at McNeese would be capping it with a Clemson win. Yeah, McNeese State wants to make a run through the tournament. McNeese State is going to want to move on out of the Midwest. They're going to want to make a run. They got Purdue. I'm going to tell you right now, Purdue better be ready. Purdue's got a good 1-5 matchup, a good 1-5 tandem. They got probably the best guard in basketball this year. But their 2-3-4 spots are pretty average. And McNeese has got the length to take advantage of that. I don't feel as good about my Purdue pick as I did after that game yesterday. But y'all made McNeese State look like the 99 Blue Devils. And I honestly don't know what to say about it. Texter said, not to mention that the other team had a lame duck head coach that's already committed to going to another program. Again, I think that one thing humans do more than anything else is that they assign their feelings to other people. I feel this way about X, and therefore everybody else, or you should, or they do, feel this way about X.
That's accurate. It's scientifically proven.
People believe that I feel this way about a thing, and therefore you should feel this way about a thing. I'm going to tell you right now, I think Will Wade has every intention of winning a national championship at McNeese State before he leaves. I don't think Will Wade looked and went, yeah, I got my new job, I'm done. Some people, this may shock you, some people like to be successful, no matter the situation that they're in. That's why I said yesterday, Lonzo changed his pick of McNeese over Clemson. I said yesterday, if you think Will Wade doesn't want to win this game, I don't know what to tell you. This is the Uber, I want to win this game.
I just want to say, as the points started dwindling, it was going to be a fun day for me today if it looked like he backed off and they came back and won.
So that's the thing.
And they nearly did.
The last 4 minutes of that game where Clemson was down 24 and chipped and chipped and chipped and chipped away, even when it got inside of 10, there was never a point where I'm like, McNeese State's going to lose this game. Because what I saw out of McNeese State was burning up clock, playing keep away, attacking the guys who were in foul trouble, etc. And it just felt to me like they don't care if they win it by 24 or 4. They just want to win this game. And there are times where we will allow a team to chip away at the lead if they're out of time so that we can eat up more is the right play. And that's how I felt yesterday. There was never a point, even when Clemson got it down to 8-6-4, that I was like, oh, McNeese State's going to blow this. Because at that point, there were seconds left. And doing the math in my head, I'm like, they're going to be out of time. They're gonna be down 4 with not enough time to have 2 possessions unless McNeese State just has like catastrophe and calamity, which at that point they had not done at all. So I don't know, man. You got outcoached. That's really all there is to it yesterday. I mean, you got outplayed too. Your players were far from them best selves. But you got outcoached and you never responded. All right. The Will Wade of sports flashes, Lonzo.
Yo, man, that's not even no. No.
No, he just wanted to.
No. Leave the room. Okay. It's one and done for Clemson Tigers after dropping their opening round game to McNeese State 69-67. Tigers finished the first half with just 13 points, taking 15 minutes to reach double digits. Clemson trailed by as many as 24 before scoring 14 in the final 45 seconds to close the margin. Alex Ovechkin has moved one goal closer to Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record after netting career goal 888 last night in a 3-2 Washington victory over Philadelphia. Ovechkin's goal came in the first period, and the win locked Washington into the NHL playoffs. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.